ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Soccer Matters.
Quick shot, score! The U.S. with Dempsey!
For Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside!
El centro de Madrid, gol, gol de oro, gol de oro, gol de Oribe, gol.
This is Soccer Matters, on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, these intros always provided by the artist, Michael Carroll. Pieces together these goal calls. I absolutely love it. By the way, two teams lost in the Champions League today, but they advance. Chelsea lost 1-0 to Porto. And, of course, Bayern Munich got a 1-0 lead. You have to say, at the end of the day, without Robert Lewandowski, they were a nightmare in the final third. Couldn't produce plays. Got in there, couldn't produce plays. Same thing Todd Ramos said about the Dynamo last year. We got into the attacking third. Just not good enough. Final ball not there, final play, final idea, whatever it takes. I want to tell you something, though. The best goal today scored on the planet came from Porto's Mehdi Taremi. Overhead bicycle kick with his back to goal. You need to see it. Check the video out. All right, we come back. So, Eddie, do you think it's really about the system and the fact that, you know, you don't get as much defensively from Darwin Quintero and Memo Rodriguez when the ball's lost? Could there be a differing role for them this year? Or could it be spot starts? We did see Memo in kind of a hybrid right-sided role during one of the preseason games. Is it system over individuals now?
I don't know. I mean, you don't get a lot from Darwin Quintero defensively, but I disagree. I think Memo Rodriguez does actually work really hard defensively. He drops back in. The problem is because the Dynamo fullbacks get high so often, when you've got Darwin Quintero in there and he's pinching in, creating that space, creating the overload of midfield, when the Dynamo lose possession of the ball, there are big gaps for the counterattack for their opponents. So I think that's one of the things that Tab has to look at. Do the pros outweigh the cons when you're playing Darwin Quintero out on that wing? You know, the con is the lack of defenders on that side of the field. The pros are he's going to be the one that's most capable of creating opportunities to score goals himself and to score goal and for his teammates to score goals. And you've got Max Giolitti, who has great, fantastic movement. You've got Fafa Pico, who's just got blazing speed. And we saw, you know, his ability to create one-on-one and to create individual opportunities on his own, which is something the Dynamo have been lacking since Albert Elise left. It's going to be interesting who Tab Ramos puts his trust in and how long he sticks with players if they don't perform to his standards. How long do you stick with somebody? Is it one game? Is it two games? Is it three games before you make changes? And, you know, San Jose obviously provides the most unique challenge in Major League Soccer, given the way they play when they don't have the ball and man-to-man and chase you around and kick you, and they're a blue-collar team, which is something I'm not. I'm not a stranger to, because we were blue-collar back when I played in San Jose in the early days of the Houston Dynamo. It's hardworking, and heard Tommy Thompson say in the interview just before I came on about how excited he is, and this is the most excited he's been in 8 years for the team. So this is not going to be an easy one. This is going to be a difficult game for the Houston Dynamo. So they've got to come in with a good game plan, with mentally they've got to be focused. They've got to be good in possession. And as you mentioned a minute ago, as Tab said, they've got to do better in the attacking third.
All right, so let me take you back to some of the things you said. I will say this. You're right about Memo hardworking, but hardworking doesn't mean you necessarily are a good defender. Okay, that's to me is, you know, we have. Does he work a little bit harder than Darwin does when the ball's lost? Absolutely. But Darwin Quintero was signed by Matt Jordan and brought to Houston. Did we really expect him to do a lot of defending? I mean, you know, if you're bringing that type of player, then you have to build a system around him that allows for him not to do much when the ball's lost. So the system that the new coach brings in, Tab Ramos, is a pressing system. So that's where it gets complicated. Now, again, he has said, and I'm going to ask him about Darwin Quintero in our upcoming interview, that fitness is an issue. No question about it. Back to your point on San Jose, and I think this is an interesting one for all of us, is that, you know, Almeida's been there a while, and Tommy Thompson, in that interview, spoke about the fact that now we have some consistency with the coach. And he's also brought in guys like Chofis Lopez, Fierro. These are all guys that played this system with Chivas in Mexico with Almeida. So, you know, you think to yourself here, okay, this may be a complicated thing to learn, but now that they've had time with it, they understand it better. Is that fair to say? And I think that's where Abramos is trying to take the Dynamo with his system now.
I think that's 100% fair. I think that you've got guys that are stepping onto the field that are coming in, even though they're new to the team. The fact that they do know the system, they can also help communicate and coach on the field. And you've got better communication, better understanding from those players. Going back to the Darwin Quintero issue, this is why you play with two holding midfielders, because whichever side of the field he's on, if he gets caught forward and the outside attacking fullback gets caught forward, you've got those holding midfielders to step out should there be a counterattack to slow things down and let players recover. That's one of the things I felt the Dynamo did a good job against FC Dallas in, is getting numbers behind the ball quickly, defending in and around their 18 with numbers. I mean, that obviously the first goal from, I believe it was Vargas, the combination play at the top of the box, I mean, that was brilliant. The Dynamo probably could have done better because they had numbers, but I think that's why you play with two holding midfielders, and you need a dedicated number 10 that can stay up the field, that can be an outlet when you win the ball back. So it's going to be interesting to see what Tab does with that, how they handle the press of San Jose and the man-to-man system. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, I think this is going to be interesting. And you know, for two teams that want to pressure opponents, you know, it's pretty easy to sit here right now and say we're going to see a lot of goals on Friday night.
Oh, it could be. And it could be a lot of counterattacking. It's going to be an up-and-down game. One of the questions that we asked on Saturday during the game against FC Dallas was, for as hard as the Dynamo are pressing, for as high up the field as they are, how long can they maintain that pressure, especially if they're doing extra running when they're in possession, trying to get away from their man markers, the amount of ground they're going to cover, and how long are they going to last? So there's so many questions that we can't really answer until we see what happens on Friday night, and I'm really excited.
Cruz Azul coming up later on. Portland Timbers have a 2-0 lead now against Maratón, so I believe it's 4-2 on aggregate, so it's good times for them right now. Yeah, so there's a lot of Mexican League influence on this San Jose team. Carlos Fierro, who's played 153 times for Chivas, Oswaldo Alanis, he's played at Tecos, Santos Laguna, Chivas as well, won a clausura at Chivas. Good pickup in Eric Remedy from Atlanta United, who won an MLS Cup there and an Open Cup and a Campeones Cup. And let's not forget Christian Espinosa, Eddie, who last year as a winger was a pretty dangerous guy also.
Oh, without question. And, you know, the one thing that we've been talking about as a soccer community for the last few years is, when is the United States going to catch up to the quality of the Mexican teams? Everybody always brings up the money, but a lot of times I would like to credit the attitude of the Mexican players, their attitude and effort on both sides of the ball. They want to fight, they want to win, and that's a huge part, and that's a huge aspect and tribute to Matias Almeida and the teams that he has and how he influences their mindset. And this is going to be a scrappy game. The Dynamo are not just going to have to match the work rate, but they're going to have to match the fight, because San Jose is going to come in here and be mean and nasty, and they're going to fight, and they're going to foul, and they're going to scrap, and do whatever they can to win the game. And the Dynamo are going to have to match that mentality.
Yeah, and you heard Tommy Thompson talking about how much fun it is to play for Matias Almeida. Look, Dynamo, good position here going into this. I thought the first 30 minutes against FC Dallas looked like a really well put together team. Of course, it's got to be 90 minutes. I don't think anybody's going to be hitting all cylinders, nor would they want to be on opening day. But I do think we're in for a really entertaining game. Front three, are you expecting Pascher, Arruti, and Pico to be the front three? You got some vertical game there. You got Pascher who cuts inside, and you got Maxi Arruti who pulls in and out of that center forward position, Eddie. And, you know, when he moves out of there, you do need a midfielder coming late once in a while to get into that space.
100% agree. I do think it's going to be those three starting the game. I like Tyler Pascher's energy and his attitude when he gets in one-on-one situations. But I will say this, there were a couple times during that game against FC Dallas where Pico or Pascher would get one-on-one with the defender and the fullback would come running up, either overlap and bring another defender. That's one of the things, if I'm Ty Ramos, I'm telling Adam Lundqvist and I'm telling Zurich Valentin, if these guys get one-on-one, don't go. Stay. Leave them one-on-one. Do not bring another defender, because they have the ability to beat those defenders one-on-one. And when they do that, one of the defenders in front of the goal is going to have to come out. So all of a sudden, by doing that, they're creating more space for movement inside of the box. And we saw on one of Fafa Pico's opportunities, just the movement from Maxi Arruti and the timing of it, moving defenders, creating passing lanes, creating opportunities. I think his movement is fantastic inside of the box and in and around the 18. So I do expect that to be the front three. And as you said, you know, the way San Jose plays, if Arruti comes in a little bit deeper, one of the center backs is going to follow. And that's going to open up space for an inside run from one of the wingers, or it's going to open up space for whoever's in that number 10 spot. So it's going to, again, if we can speculate all we want, we'll find out what Todd Ramos wants from his guys when we watch the game on Friday.
Let's get it on. We've got Todd Ramos coming up after this. We've got Tim Parker, so you're going to hear it from the guys that really matter. Eddie and I will be on the call along with Cindy Bourbano on Quest 55 on Friday night, also on ESPN+. Really looking forward to Todd Ramos and the Dynamo taking the field to get the opener going. We're going to take a break here. It's brought to you by Once and Only, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsor. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. You get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle. You might drive an 18-wheeler, work in a refinery, or construction. 713-322-HURT. 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Eddie Robinson, thank you very much. I will see you on Thursday for rehearsal.
Thank you. Thanks, Glenn, for having me. I always enjoy our conversations. I'll see you on Friday.
Yep, Thursday, great stuff.
Actually, yeah.
All right, that'll do it. So we'll take a break here. We'll come back with Todd Ramos, the head coach of the Houston Dynamo.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5.
I'm Greg Berhalter. You're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We are joined here courtesy of John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. He is the head coach of the Houston Dynamo. He's Todd Ramos. Tab, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you once again for having me on.
All right, so I would imagine now it's getting closer. You're starting to get the feeling of, hey, ready for the real deal, ready for the curtain to be raised, and ready for real competition with meaningful results.
Yeah, no question. It feels like, you know, we've had about a five-month preseason, and it's time to get a real game and to get going. So I think, you know, I'm excited about it. I can only imagine how excited the players must be, because they haven't played a real game since November.
Tab, you know, this is a long preseason, and obviously I would think that the players, like you said, are ready for real live competition and MLS league play. How much judgment do you put into a last game against FC Dallas? I heard you in the post-game press conference. You were happy with a really good, solid 30 minutes of the pressing system. How much stock do you even put into a game like that?
Well, you have to put some stock into it because at the end of the day, you know, you're towards the culmination of your preseason. So you need to take some, you know, you need to make some decisions based on what happened on some of the moments in that game. Having said that, you know, I think the score, you know, is not really reflective of the way I thought we played. And so in general, I still like that we're much more solid in the back. I wish that in that game, we could have created a few more scoring opportunities because I didn't think we created enough. But I also don't think that that's necessarily our lineup going into Friday. So, you know, we'll tweak some things and do what we need to do to play San Jose, and that'll be our first real game. And I'm sure the players will have a different approach as well.
Houston Dynamo head coach Tab Ramos joining us here on ESPN 97.5 Soccer Matters, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Nobody ever wants to be hitting full cylinders in their opening game in MLS because of the length of the season. That one wouldn't expect it. But saying that, how are you feeling about the implementation, the execution of your system and the way you want things to go?
I feel pretty good about where we are. You know, we've had a lot of new players. Obviously, the guys in particular in the front and in the back have had to adapt to playing. You know, we've had to deal with the issue of having three center backs out, injured. You know, fortunately for us, Sam Junkwa has come in and has done a great job. But at the moment, you know, obviously, you know, we had you know, when you lose one center back, you're always prepared for that. When you lose two, you're somewhat prepared. When you lose three, that's difficult, you know, because now you got to start patching things up. But I think overall, Sam has done a great job. On that left side. So we're happy with that. And then the guys up front have adapted well to the new way of pressing. You know, we did a good job on the last game, not allowing Dallas to come out playing. And that was good in the first 30, 35 minutes. And so we'll take the positive from that and move forward.
I found that interesting. They didn't even want to play out of the back. You actually forced them to hit long goal kicks, which, you know, you don't see a whole lot of that now these days all of a sudden.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, one thing, you know, their first goal around the 31st minute when the goal came, it came against a run of play, and it came on a long ball where we had four back plus five midfielders back and a ball that goes to two of their players surrounded by about four of ours. So obviously a great individual skill by Hara, I think it was, that scored the goal. But at the same time, I think we have to be harder in those instances. And I think in the league, you know, we will be that.
Well, I mean, it looks very obvious that the team is harder simply because of two signings you made and some good business in the draft, getting Derek Jones and Tim Parker. Is that fair to say? Plugging them into some of the current players has made you a team that's got a little bit more edge and steel?
Oh, for sure. Those two players have made us better. And I think that they'll play an important role this year.
So we talked about Derek a lot, and I've been very interested because I know your relationship with him and with the under-20s, and you've talked about really fast-tracking him and getting him a lot of minutes and pushing him. Are you getting your teammates, your players, to push him as well, like the Tim Parkers of the world? And how much can you push him to accelerate him?
Yeah, I mean, he will get pushed hard this year at the same time, because we have to remember he plays a very important position. You know, he's in the center of the field. He has to win balls. He has to distribute well. He has to win balls in the air, which he helps us with a lot. And he has to be good in transition, and he can do that. So, for sure, he will be one of those guys that will have to help us get carried through the season.
Tab Ramos joining us here on ESPN 97.5. I heard some of your comments about him. Is he a guy that you're going to have to work? Because he has got a little bit of an unbridled nature to him. Is this a guy that you're going to have to really work with about making sure that he stays central a lot? Because I heard you comment on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think what happens is he has good physical ability to cover ground. And he hasn't played in this position in a few years since he was back in Philadelphia, where they played sort of with like a double six. So he hasn't played the six alone in years. And so he's adapting to that because, you know, he's been playing the 8 and the 10 mostly. And in Nashville, when he played the 10, he sort of roamed all over the field. And, you know, when you play the 6, you have to be a lot more disciplined in terms of keeping your position. And we're working on that. I think if you heard it is because I've been telling him, I told him in the game. And I think when he stays central, he can really become a force in there.
How much does Tim have to do with that? Obviously guiding him, moving him, directing him, getting to hold his position a bit. I mean, are those two working off each other, the center backs?
Yeah, of course. Tim has to direct them. You know, the advantage of, you know, having a center back that has good communication skills is that, you know, they can see the whole field in front of them. And obviously he knows the way we play. And so it's very easy for Tim to get people on board. You know, he's a good leader, and he has a good way of delivering a message.
So you've worked a number of lineups during the preseason, and everything's open, as you said, for opening day. But Darwin Quintero, Memo Rodriguez, where do they fit into the system, do you think, in the future? Is that still a question mark? We know they're both good players, but how do they get utilized? Because it does seem like it's almost system over individuals now, if that's fair to say. If not, you tell me I'm wrong.
No, well, I mean, it's both really, because we also have to prepare for opposing teams. So every team, you know, brings a different challenge. Both Memo and Darwin are really important parts of our team, and they're guys that can make things happen in the final third. So we need those guys, and I think they will both play a big part this season.
Tab, how about a little bit of touching base on San Jose? You know, everybody always goes right to Almeida's system. It's disruptive. It's, you know, the man one-on-one marking all over the field and all these things. I'm not sure it's as simple as that. But how about some thoughts on preparing for San Jose, and how much preparation is about them, and really how much is it about you right now?
It's both. It's both, because inevitably, you prepare for every opponent, but then you have to prepare yourself to play them. So you're doing both. You're letting the players know how the opposing team plays. You're giving them, you know, the attributes that they have and the faults they may have, or that you can exploit. And then you try to prepare your sessions to exploit what you think their weaknesses are, as I'm sure they're doing with us. So this is just part of the process. You know, San Jose does have a unique way of playing, but it's a system like any other system. Everybody has their own way, and we just have to prepare for that. That's all. One thing you know about San Jose is they're going to come here and they're going to work extremely hard for every ball. I mean, that's just a given. And not that all the other teams don't do it, but, you know, teams, there are a lot of teams in MLS now who have, you know, spent a lot of money on talent up front that at times take breaks. You know, and San Jose is not one of those teams. They don't take breaks. You know, they just go hard in every position of the field. And so that's a really tough challenge for us.
Do you get to a point in some of these games where, you know, you get to like this line of demarcation where you're like, yeah, we're preparing for them, but I'm not sure I want to go that far because I don't want to pull away from my own principles that we've been instilling? I would imagine that's a difficult thing to kind of navigate sometimes, depending on opponents.
Yeah, I mean, you have to do, it's a fine line. You have to do both, you know, because you want to play the way you want to play and you want to make San Jose worry about you. But at the same time, you can't ignore the fact that they do some things really well and that they have a unique way of playing. So you have to try to exploit the areas that you think you can exploit. And so you try to prepare for that. But, you know, the good thing is, you know, the players are used to that. You know, you prepare for it won't be the same. We won't prepare the same for Portland, obviously, as we're preparing for San Jose. So every week you change. But, that, you know, that's part of the great parts of coaching. Right. I mean, you know, if you love what you're doing, you know, it's a new challenge every week to prepare differently.
Is this the part you really like, the tactical part? I mean, what, you know, if you break it down, your career, obviously, you know, you've had a lot of success. You've put the time into coaching. Is this the part that you like the best, sort of the matching of the minds and trying to get the tactics right? Is that your favorite part, or is it? I know it's one of many things you have to do.
Well, you know, I like it. How could I say? I mean, I don't like getting it wrong, and I work to not get it wrong. So that's basically what drives me is I really want to do it so we don't get it wrong, so that we have the right approach to the games and that the players feel comfortable with it.
I was going to say, on behalf of all the coaches in the world, We don't like getting it wrong. Tom Ramos. That's awesome. Back to this Almeida system and all, you know, outside of just the fact that they have an intense work ethic, it's a lot of one-on-one defending. It puts a lot of pressure on them. What might be the soft underbelly of that system? Do they get pulled out of shape sometimes? Is that an area you can exploit? What might be the area that you can take advantage of based on that system?
Well, I mean, that's obvious that when a team, you know, tries to defend 1v1, you can put them into, you know, different situations that may be a challenge for them. Now, you know, Almeida is a very experienced coach, so I'm sure he's lived all of that. I mean, we're not the first ones to discover that, you know, that happens. And I know that he has been successful with this system in many different places. And so I'm sure that people have tried to bend his teams out of shape so that they could exploit them. And so I'm sure he's prepared for that too. And, you know, this is the back and forth that you look forward to. But I, you know, of course we're going to try to move them around so that we can exploit them. And of course he's going to be sitting on the sideline going, okay, well, they're doing this, you know, if we do this, you know, like we can counter that. And, you know, then that's what it's about. I'm sure he has enough experience to be able to figure out, you know, some of the things that we'll try to do.
Tab, listen, as always, thanks very much. Best of luck in the opener. It's a great night to start things off here in Houston on Friday as we lift the curtain of Major League Soccer. Thanks so much for your time and going in-depth about your team, and we appreciate it, and best of luck.
Thank you, Glenn. We're really looking forward to it.
All right. As always, that's Tab Ramos here joining us. Great stuff there ahead of the game if you're listening, and we'll take a break here. It's all brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, this is Oliver Luck, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on 97.5 with the irrepressible Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Quick moment here for Advantage BMW. I've driven one for years. I've leased and bought from Advantage BMW Midtown. Now, I love the drive of a BMW. Look, if you get down there, you talk to Justin, you talk to Steven. These guys will take you through sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. You can get yourself in a sedan, a 3.5, a 7 Series, get in an X5. I drove it all the way to New Jersey. It was like riding in first class. It was incredible back in June. So it's Advantage BMW Midtown. Ask for Justin and Steven. And by the way, they're great supporters of the game of soccer, and we appreciate Advantage BMW Midtown getting us on the air when it comes to soccer conversation and bringing us interviews like this with Houston Dynamo defender, big offseason signing, captain. He is Tim Parker. He joins us now. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing good, Glenn. How are you?
Well, it's been a couple of weeks since we talked, and preseason's over. We're getting here to the final denouement. We're a couple days away from the big one against San Jose. How you feeling?
Excited. You know, it's been a while since we've been able to play any games. So, I mean, obviously the long offseason, the long preseason, it's got guys ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, this is a ritual you've been through before. Does it ever get any different, or is it just exciting each time?
Yeah, it's just as exciting, and especially being in Houston with a new team, there's a little bit extra on top of it as well.
All right, so for you going through this preseason, coming in, there's a lot of expectations on you, not only through your performance, but also to help lead and guide, and that's tricky when you come to a new team. We've spoken about that. How do you think it's all gone, and you know, how do you feel the guys are feeling here ahead of this first game?
I think it's going pretty well. You know, I think overall the preseason adjustment period for us in terms of how we play and the results we've gotten and who we've played, I think we can look at the preseason as a whole and view it as a very positive experience. You know, if you take out that Dallas game at the end where I don't think the game reflected necessarily that was reflected by the scoreline, but I do think that overall we've had really good performances from multiple games and from multiple players. And I think that that's a really good standpoint for us, is to look around and see, like, throughout the locker room, that there's a lot of guys that are ready to play this year.
Tim Parker joining us, Houston Dynamo defender, ahead of Friday night. It's San Jose Earthquakes in town. You can catch it on Quest 55. Apparently sold out now. 6,000 seats have been sold out. That's capacity. The only place you can, I think, get a ticket would be on a place like SeatGeek or something. So, Tim, if I look at you, your preseason's been interesting because you've had to work with different partners, Minor Figueroa, Sam Junca, Alejandro Fuenmayor, Ethan Bartlow. These guys have some injuries now. So how has that been for you from a chemistry standpoint with those two guys? It's Minor, you've got a great veteran, a Honduran legend. With Sam, you got a bit of a newbie at the center back position with the Dynamo.
Yeah, so I think obviously with Minor, I started off with Minor, and it was pretty common chemistry right away. You know, I think obviously he's been around quite a while, so he knows the ins and outs and what to do and where to be. And then with Sam, you kind of get the complete opposite, where he is new to the center back position. So I'm kind of helping him along the way, but also letting him learn from some mistakes. And then also, like, when he does really well, then, you know, you got to throw him the encouragement and let him do him as well.
Tim Parker joining us ahead of San Jose. All right. You know, when the Dynamo go into this full-blown press, and it's exciting to watch it work and to see the triggers and, you know, winning the ball near a goal, leading to immediate chances. But all the time that that's going on, your brain is working because you're thinking of, okay, when the ball turns over, do I have guys positioned where, you know, take us into that a little bit, because I don't think people see or think about that quite as much.
Yeah, I mean, I think in almost all instances, when we have the ball, I'm always thinking of the worst case scenario. So I'm thinking about when we turn the ball over, do we have enough numbers around the ball to stop the counter or to win the ball back? So I'm trying to always organize the guys in front of me, usually the sixes and the outside backs, to make sure that we are around the ball and also that we have numbers around it to win the ball back.
All right, with Derek Jones in front of you, that's a nice – there's some good steel there between the two of you. I like the looks of this. talk to me a little bit about Derek, because he's working his way back into the holding midfield role, right, after a couple of years. And Tab Ramos has talked extensively about this. And you and him have to be pretty much, you know, connected with a thread and a rope. What, you know, the two center backs in that six, it's a big piece.
Yeah, yeah. I think Derek's getting sick of hearing me yell at him so much, to be honest with you. But no, you know, I think it kind of comes with the position. You know, I mean, he's the first guy I see, and he's right in front of me. So he hears my voice a lot, and he lets me know that he hears me. So sometimes I'm going to be right, and sometimes I'm going to be wrong. But at the end of the day, I'm trying to make the job easier for everyone else. So it's a hard battle that he's in between right now.
Yeah, you got to drive through it. But you've got to keep him in the middle, because that's ultimately where you want him, right?
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, Derek has such a physical presence in the middle of the field. You know, I mean, in terms of winning 50-50 tackles and, I mean, being able to win headers and stuff like that, that's a lot of what we're going to rely on Derek for this year, is to win the middle of the field and control the middle of the field for us. And then when we're on the ball, we want his footballing ability to take over. And obviously play forward, be aggressive, and we want him to do those kind of things.
With you and him and when Sam Junca was out there as well, got some targets off set pieces and corners, and maybe the delivery wasn't there against FC Dallas, but I'm expecting that trio of guys, I mean, if you're out there, you guys are going to get some goals off corners and set pieces to help the cause, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's definitely something that we're looking forward to this year, is being dangerous, especially with the guys that we have serving the ball. The service is incredible. So it's going to be on us to make sure that we're getting on the end of it.
All right. For you, some of the tougher strikers to play against in Major League Soccer over your career, who give me a couple.
Robbie Keane was up there.
Oh, good one.
I obviously David Villa as well. I mean, there's no lack of good strikers in this league, unfortunately. So David Villa, Robbie Keane.
So let's go back to Robbie. What made Robbie so difficult?
I mean, I think it was both of those guys. You know, I mean, they're not the most physical of guys, but their movement and their ability to find space was just so good. It was so good. So it was kind of tough to get close to them. And obviously, for me, I played against Robbie when I first came into the league. So he got the upper hand a couple of times.
That's okay. That's okay. If you're going to have to give the upper hand to, but you know, what was it about their movement though and their runs? I mean, obviously they're quick and all that, but was there deception to it? You know, what was the difference in some of their runs maybe than, you know, others?
They were just so smart. You know, I think when the ball goes wide, it's their ability to go to the near post and then just drift away from you. And once they drift away from you, you don't know where they are. And then next thing you know, they're on the end of a cross or on the end of the second ball. Kind of similar to how Wando is. Wando's a lot like that as well in terms of when he's in the box, he manages to always find himself space and be alone. So I think for those guys, it was that. And then also, I mean, the way they demanded how the guys around them played and the way they played and how they saw the game in terms of how they wanted the other guys around them to attack and to play and press.
Talking to Tim Parker, Chris Wondolowski, he just mentioned San Jose Earthquakes coming in Friday. So, you know, how do you deal with a guy like him? Because he's just got that innate sense to it's like he knows where the ball's going to be in the penalty area before anybody else. It's kind of crazy. Really? Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Chris, Wando's a legend. You know, he's an MLS legend. He's an American legend. His goals speak for themselves. But like you said, he's got an innate ability to find the back of the net and to find the ball in the box. So when he comes onto the field, we have to make sure that when we're in the box, we're touch tight because we can't give him half of a yard in there.
And then as far as San Jose, you know, everybody talks about you know, the one-on-one marking and the work ethic and all. Take me a little deeper into that because I get that. I get that. And I get it's different and I get it can make games chaotic. I have to believe, though, it's more than just man-to-man marking and work ethic. I think there is some passing of players on. What is it about that system that's so hard to play against?
Yeah, you know, I think it's the way they do their man-to-man marking almost suckers you into trying to play out of it. And when you're suckered into trying to play out of it, that's when they're able to pick passes off and they're able to go at you with numbers. So for us, it's going to be really important for us to make good decisions on the ball when we have it. And then to be aggressive when we have the ball, you know, it's going to be quick movements, trying to get behind them, trying to expose them as quick as we can, because with 1v1 marking or with the idea of 1v1 marking, obviously if you're able to run past your guy, someone else slides over and we should be able to find the open man.
Tim Parker joining us, San Jose Earthquakes. Any other differences about San Jose you see? I Trophies Lopez is a new signing from Chivas. But, you know, outside of a couple of signings, I mean, pretty similar. Christian Espinosa, very dangerous guy as well. What other observations about San Jose do you have?
Yeah, I mean, I think pretty similar to last year, apart from a couple of players. But, you know, I think one thing that really shook me from San Jose last year was their just overall belief. You know, I think I watched when we were down in Orlando in that bubble, I mean, they were a fun team to watch down there. So they believe in what they do. I think it's an all in the system there. It's like, it's kind of like what we want to do in Houston. It's buy in or get out. And I think that a lot of those guys have bought in over there.
How's the buy in for the Dynamo?
It's good. You know, I think we're definitely progressing with everything that we're learning. I think we're learning each other, especially because there's so many new guys that are here right now. So we're learning how to play with one another. And then obviously the system, we're getting used to that as well.
Tim, even with your time in Major League Soccer, is it pretty remarkable over the span of years that you've played in the league to just see, you know, the stadiums, you know, a lot of the changes that have occurred here? I mean, these three brand new stadiums, I mean, you could hold these things up to anywhere in the world. They're remarkable. You know, the supporters group growth, the quality of the games now, the talent coming in from South America, the academies, you know, is it even in the span of your period in MLS, does it look like it's just accelerated pretty fast?
Yeah, for sure. I think when I actually, it's kind of funny you bring that up. I had this conversation with Ethan Bartlow the other day, just talking about when I first came into the league, like what's changed so much. And I said, like the travel, the hotels, we're treated a little bit better as players, although we want more obviously, but
yeah,
you know, I think you can see the growth of the game in the States and then how when new teams come in, it's like they're trying to one-up each other. So I think Atlanta set the standard pretty high. And now from there, everyone's trying to go one-up, 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 one-up. And I mean, as players, it's great to see because we get to play in incredible stadiums, get to see great fans at home games and obviously at away games. And then the more the league grows, the better the players get. And I think that's the standard for the league is continuing to grow.
Tim, listen, thank you very much for your time. Best of luck on Friday. Big win against San Jose. Looking forward to seeing you play. And I know a lot of fans are excited about you being in Houston to help this team turn this thing around. So thank you very much for coming on the show tonight.
Yeah, no, thank you, Glenn. I appreciate it.
All right, that's Tim Parker joining us there ahead of Friday. Real stout defender. You're going to enjoy watching him this year. This was all brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They got you covered whether you get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident. They'll work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com are presenting sponsors. So that does it tonight for Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Big thank you to Aaron Raybould, Eddie Robinson, Tab Ramos, and Tim Parker for joining us tonight, as well as Tommy Thompson of the San Jose Earthquakes. Big reminder, it's Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc, Facebook, Soccer Matters. Get over to Instagram, Glenn Davis Soc, and glendavissoccer.com. Got you covered there with the shameless promotion. A big thank you to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They're going to work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. You get in an accident, no matter what type it is, John and his firm has you covered. By the way, they are huge supporters of soccer, and they are bringing Soccer Matters to the airwaves. A big thank you to John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. On behalf of you, the soccer fans, the listeners, we'll see you Friday night for the Dynamo San Jose. I'm Glenn Davis. Have a good night.
ESPN 97.5.